On.
He's very good.
No, that's not yours. You don't use that one. That's his. We are on your dollar number Olive. At the new Mishnah. Okay, this is yours. And here we find for you. We're at new Perek. Beginning of the in the third Perek, Ma'abena Satvua. Perek in Malacha Aleph. Okay? So it should be easy for a couple of block, as I said. We can finish theoretically in 10 minutes tonight.
What?
Just kidding. Not much longer.
I can barely follow your reading.
Oh, the Yerushalmi are much slower than in the morning. Ma'abena Satvua Shebein Azesim. I think so. Ma'abena Satvua Shebein Azesim. You have squares of grain growing among olive trees. Besharim peah mikol achas v'achas. Besharim says each square of grain gets its own individual peah. Uveisilmi me'achra kol v'isil says you can take from one location and all the rest of the locations, no problem. Everybody concedes shemiu roshi shuros muravim that if they the various different squares of grain curved around the trees and interconnected, then shunosim peachas, and you can give one pair from all of the squares of grain from one of the squares. Hamanamru sodeu, you treat your field like a leopard. In other words, you harvest some parts of it and leave other parts of it for later. B'shia klachim lachim, meaning that you leave the moist, which means unripe, stalks for later on. Akiva merpeh mikol achas v'achas. Akiva says, from each and every one of the clumps of stalks which you leave out in the field, you give its own individual peah. Chachomim mechal kol chachomim says, no, they're still considered to be all part and parcel of the same harvest, and you give from one location on the entire field. When you plant sheves, which is some type of herb, or mustard seed in three different places in your field, you pay it from each and every section. We learned in our Mishnah, says the Gemara, that the grain is growing among the olive trees. The Tani of the Beis Rebbe, we learned in the Brisa, which was said in the house of Rebbe, Shebeinho Ilonos. There they said it's talking about grain which is growing not among olive trees, but among fruit trees. Now, olive trees are chayiv in peah, fruit trees are not. Because olive trees, you take the olive oil and you preserve it for a long time. That's called machnisa lekiyum. Fruit trees, you can't take oranges and preserve them. They didn't have refrigeration in the old days, right? So you can't preserve the product. So therefore, ilanos are exempt from peah. Okay, so Masnisa Tzurchel of the Beit Rebbe, our Mishnah, needs to have Rebbe's statement independent of it as a hashlama in order to complete the picture, and vice versa as well. The Beit Rebbe Tzurchel of Masnisa. Rebbe's Brisa requires our Mishnah as well. Ilutina Masnisa Vlotina and the Beit Rebbe, where we just have learned our Mishnah, not have learned the Brisa, which was stated in the house of Rebbe, Havina Amrina, we would have said, Lomar El Shabena Zaytim, where did we say that you have to give, according to Beit Shammai, the payoff from each and every block of grain, from each and every square of grain, where they're growing among the olive trees, and olive trees have their own independent chiv of payoff, so therefore there could be interruptions in the grain field, right? Because they are an independent chiv of each one of them. So I would have thought, avol, that's where Yeshu chai bepeh, you have to give pay on each one. But if what's growing between the grain patches is something which is exempt from peah, I might look at it as being neutral and not an interruption. I might say in that case, even agrees that they're still interconnected, and therefore I can get peah from one square of grain and all the squares of grain. And vice versa. Havitzurchel Beis Rebbe. That tells us why we needed to have the Brisa of Rebbe that teaches us that Beishami Beisil's Machlokas is even where the trees in between are exempt from Peah. Even there, Beishami holds that those trees are an interrupting factor, and each square of grain has to have its own Peah.
This is the concept we had previously about something that's neutral between.
Right. Right. I might say that neutral is not interruption. That's the chiddush, that neutral is an interruption.
So why is there some chiddush here, or is it just a
repeat?
Okay.
It's repeat. Okay, Avituch LeBeis Rebbe. Oh, and vice versa here. Are we Lutan the Beis Rebbe? Where we just didn't learn Rebbe's Bryce of Lotanina Mastis and out of Lutan Mishnah. Havina Namri, we would have said, Lo Man Rela Shevein Elonis. When do I say that Beis Hill holds that they're all interconnected? When they're between, when between the squares of grain, all you have is Elonis, trees, orchards, Dovershu Pitzer Peah, something which is exempt from Peah. Have a Dovershu Chaya Peah, but were there to be olives between the squares of grain, which is chayiv peah, abisil moim shenas in peah mikol achas v'achas. I might say even basil concedes the African peah from each one of the squares independently. Have a tzur chol amas nisin. That's why I need both the Mishnah or tzur chol a rabbi, and I need both the base rabbi. I need the brights of the house of rabbi as well. Okay, is that easy? The whole Gemara is like that tonight. Okay, says the Gemara.
So with the olives.
Olives are chayv and peah, trees are not. Olive, but they're both interruptions.
So the apples on the trees.
Apples are exempt from peah. Okay?
And how about the, what do you call it?
Anything which you cannot store for a long time.
Grapes and all that.
Grapes you can, you make wine out of it. Grapes you can. Okay? Dates you can. Figs, no. Dates, yes. Yeah, because figs you can't store for a long time. Yeah, they did, but they didn't dry them sufficiently, it seems. It seems only dates dried efficiently. Okay, in any event, it says more further. V'ilu. Still doesn't help. No, a little bit further than that. Manon Kayami. What are we talking about? Okay, those who have the Vilna Gemaras, it's seven lines from the end of the... Seven lines from the end of the narrow lines. You have it, Manon Kayomin? Manon Kayomin. Imruvach, what are we talking about? If the trees are broadly spaced apart, but even Beisham agrees that you give pay from all the squares together, all the squares are great together, in beer tzufin, if we're talking about where the trees are spaced closely together, you have to give pay from each individual square. Elokin and Kayom, we're talking about a case between Mato Esel Beisor, where there are 10 planted per Beisor, which is a standard planting distance when you come to plant saplings. So Beishamai uvdi lonker tzufin, Beisil Beishamai makes them, in other words, considers them as if they are continuous and interrupt each one of the squares. Beisil uvdi lonker bruvach, and Beisil considers them as if they are broken up, and therefore the squares are interconnected. My time to Beishamai, what's the answer to Beishamai? Shein derech miyarm niyos machtis ben Ezroi. His logic is that one doesn't normally place seeds between the trees. If one finds grain between the trees, they're obviously considered to be aberrant. It's not a grain field, but little patches of grain, each of which requires its own payer. Okay. You know, if that's the case, says Gemara, Asi the Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai Svore is Rabbi Yossi, it's like Rabbi Yossi Svore, which we'll learn later. Kemad Rabbi Yossi Yom, I just saw Rabbi Yossi said, Ein derech mei yodom liyos machtisim betzolim bein min ayeh bein ayeh, Rabbi Yossi said, people don't normally plant onions among their vegetables. So to Beis Shammai says, you don't normally place grain among your trees. Mistabra, however, it makes sense to say, Beis Shammai yodul Rabbi Yossi. Beis Shammai will concede to Rabbi Yossi, because it's certainly rarer to find onions and vegetables mixed together than it is to find grain and trees mixed together. However, Rabbi Yossi lo yed de Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yossi does not necessarily admit to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai yodu Rabbi Yossi. Beis Shammai admits Rabbi Yossi shein derech miyodom lios machnisim betzolim bein ayerek, that you don't normally find people putting onions among their vegetables. Rabbi Yossi lo yod de Beis Shammai won't concede to Beis Shammai shein derech miyodom lios machnisim zroim bein lanos. Sometimes they put grain among their trees. Okay, Now, the Gemara brings down a series of questions which Gemara does not resolve. What about Hoya Sham? Now, here the Ritbaz brings down from the Grod, there's a typo here. Hoya Sham, Elon Kaminshu Goder. If there was a tree thick as a fence, in other words, it was 4 amos wide, what's the halacha in that case?
It says Geder
Kaminshu Elon. Right, that's what it says in our Gemara as well. Right, but it's the growth is a typo. What if there's a tree as thick as broad as a fence? Is that an interruption according to even Beis Hillel? And the Gemara doesn't resolve it. The Gemara leaves it open. Next question. Ad kedom b'muravi mikan mikan. Our mission is talking about where the Rosh Yeshuras wrap around the trees and the squares meet on each side of the tree. What about what about if they only the wrap around the tree on one side but not on the other side? In other words, the squares of grain don't meet on both sides of the tree but only on one side of that. Are they still considered according to Beis Hillel to be connected? Next question. How broad a connection do you have to have? Obishlosha Tolamim Shalopsiach. Is it when they're connected even by specifically by 3 furrows breadth, which is the shear which you saw previously? Oh, a filum kosher, he's in a thinnest thread connection between the squares of grain. Is that sufficient to make sure they're all connected and take pay from one side off the entire field? None of these questions are resolved. Left open, left difficult. Hamanamer, getting back to our mission, we said that some people who cut their fields as if they were leopards. What does it mean, leopards? What's salient about a leopard?
Spots.
Spots. Of course. Spots. So, Kahadein, that was creative. Havanamer, you take claws, you take your fingernails, and you cut it like that. Havanamer, Kahadein Nimra, like a leopard, that has spots. Why does it have spots? Because Mokum is the place that's fertilized only in Tchila. That's where it grows first, right? Because the place that's fertilized grows quicker. So that's why you have clumps which grow quicker than other places. That's why Nimrodah correlates called the leopard, right? It has spots. Ad kedun shayavish miyav mikan mikan. Now, our mission is talking about where there was dry grain on all sides, and in the middle there was lach, there was moist grain. Now, moist grain is not ripe. Dry grain is ripe. Okay, so when there's dry grain in the middle, so that is immediately harvestable, and then that leaves all sorts of clumps of moist grain all over for later on. So now we have machlokas and our mishnah. They have to take payah from each one of the clumps of moist grain on its own, right? Later on or not?
Since the calendar year of the harvest is the same, wouldn't you just say that payah?
You know, you would have said that, but our sugya clearly doesn't hold that way. Yeah, it doesn't work by year.
It's not like an escrow.
Right, it's not by fiscal year. It has to be the same, not only the same harvest period, but the same period within the harvest period. We're going to see countless other cases like that, and not countless, several other cases like that this evening. It has to be not just the same year, it has to be the same general period.
Didn't we have something earlier that say that?
Well, we did, but that's where it's not staggered, but continuous over time. Where it's staggered, it's punctuated in terms of the pay. Look, it's machlokas here. Not everybody agrees, but that's the concept here. Now, what about the other case? I apologize. Our Mishnah where there's a machlokas is where there's yavesh mikan and mikan. I reverse the case. I apologize. Our Mishnah is where yavesh mikan mikan there was dry all over the place that you harvested first. The lach ba'emtza, and it was moist in the middle. What about hoyalach mikan and mikan? The moist grain, which is not yet ripe, was all over the place. The yavesh ba'emtza and the dry grain was in the middle. So what about in that case? In that case, we'd all agree that you have to give 2 different payos. Why? Because in that case, we might concede that since the yavish is in the middle, right? Since the yavish is in the middle, and the dry and the moist grain is therefore scattered as a result. So therefore, when you harvest the yavish, the moist grain is not yet suitable. When you come later on to harvest the moist, so hey, one is over here, one is over there. How can you pay it from one on the other? Maybe in that case, taka, they're separate, and you have to give payos independently on all the new grain, which you're harvesting 2 or 3 weeks later, whenever the period comes.
That's what you consider the middle now, which is just harvested land. Is that
right? It seems to be hefsek, not because it's harvested land, not because it's fallow land, but because at the time that it grew, these are considered to be two minim. Those which come up speedier and those which come up slower are distinct. And that's what Gemara is about to say. So Gemara, let's look at it right now. Says Gemara, Rabbi Bon, Rabbi Chia, Bosem, Shem, Rabbi Yochan, Asin, Rabbi Meir, Helkushitas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbo, like Rabbi Kiva's Rabbi. Kimod, Rabbi Kiva, Mar, Lach, Vyavish, Neiminimim. See that? The stuff which grows quicker, the drawn, which is now dry, and the stuff which goes slower, which is still moist, they're two separate meanings. And therefore, if you lach here and lach there, and Yovish in the middle, everybody agrees the lach and lach on the two sides are separate. You have to get pay one from there and pay one from there. Right? Well, it's two meaning, but the mean in the middle is a separation between the. It's as if you have three fields. Okay, so it says the Gemara. Amrei Chavai Kum Rabbi Yosi. So the Chaverim said in front of Yosi, "V'lom Leik Rabbi Akiva. Why do you have to say it's Tafkoi Rabbi Akiva? I feel like Rabbanim, even true Koi Rabbanim. The Tzniya Tzomah we learned later in our Perek. Hamar going to have it in a few minutes. Hamachlik Mitzoyim Lashuk. If somebody's dividing up his onions, some of these he's putting aside." He's separating those onions which are going to go immediately to the market. And he's keeping the dry ones to make a silo or barn out of them. They're two separate meaning. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Yosef said, "Shamina shok v'garin shnei meaning." So they're two separate meaning. So says the Gemara. Lichor, that's the same thing as lach and yavish. So the Gemara says, "No." I'm Rabbi Yosef. This is a refutation. Rabbi Yosef says, "Shamina, we've heard shuk v'garench they minim him. Those onions which go to market and those which go into storage, those are two minim. However, lach v'yavish they minim him. You think lach and yavish are two minim? They're not two minim. Lach and yavish are the same min, and therefore, chatzi lach v'chatzi yavish. If you have half your field dry and half your field moist." Af Rabbi Akiva Moide, even Rabbi Akiva can concede that you can give payah from one on the whole thing. So it seems to be arguing on our on what we just said previously. Before we said Rabbi Akiva says lach v'yavish neiminim. You were saying it's not necessarily so. We're saying the lach v'yavish are one min, and that, like you were saying before, even though the one takes several weeks later than the other, nonetheless it's considered to be all one field vis-a-vis the lach apeah. You can leave field from the lach on the yavish.
It's interesting because it doesn't mention a makor for where you see Rabbi Kiva says that it's shnei minim.
Right. It seemed before, well, which is perhaps why the Gemara can renege on the deal. Because previously the Gemara didn't bring a source, it just made an assumption. Why the Gemara made such an assumption, I don't know. But now it seems that pretty clearly the Gemara is reneging on it. So said now, the Vahot Ninon, according to Pnei Moshe, is a continuation of the Sugya. But according to Ritbaz, we take out the word Vahot Ninon, and then it reads much better. Well, the Ritbaz, the name of the Gro, takes out the word Vahot Ninon. Do you have the word Vahot Ninon on yours? Okay, so each, but the yeah, which is the way Pnei Moshe reads. Vahot Ninon is going to be a proof of what we just said, that Lach and Yavish are the same min. But we're gonna, that's the way the Pnei Moshe learns. But we'll learn like the Ritbaz right now. There's not a proof of rather separate statements. We learned in our Mishnah, Modim Chachomim Rabbi Akiva, Chachomim Kitzit Rabbi Akiva, Bezoreh Sheves O Chardal, when one plants Sheves, some sort of seed, herb, and Chardal, mustard, Shloshim, Makomas, and three fields in one's field, three places in one field, in three patches in one's field, so that one gives pair from each and every patch. So the Markini Mas Nisan, this is the way to read our Mishnah, just so you shouldn't make a mistake, a klutzy mistake. Don't think that don't think it's three places altogether. Two of Shevis and one of Chardo, or one of Shevis and two of Chardo. No, Kinimas is the way to read our Mishnah. Shevis b'shloshim makomos. You have Shevis in three places, or Chardo b'shloshim makomos. Now, why in those cases do we say it's different? So Shmuel my nation ain't a roshim. They grow at different rates. The mustard seed, some of it goes quicker and some of it grows slower. So therefore each patch gets separate. Rabbi Yochanan said, not because they grow at different rates, but rather because they are planted in various different patches. That's their nature. So therefore each patch is distinct. Says while Daiti the Shmuel Corner Shmuel says they mature at various different rates. So then you have to give pay on each stalk from its own stalk. It's because since they're maturing at different rates, so each stalk has its own maturity date. And when it has its maturity date, that's when you have to give pay from it. I think it's an exaggeration. I think it means you have to monitor which date is which date. But the point is that you have to give Peah a much smaller field, portions of your field, because you have to look at how they're stacking and how they grow to maturity. Al-Daiti, Rabbi Yochum, according to Rabbi Yochum, says that the reason why we take from each patch independently is because each patch is considered to be the derech, and then therefore each one is separate. So Marvi should call Ruga Ruga, you can separate from each Aruga distinctly. Okay? Not the whole, not from each stalk, I should say, but from each aruga, because each aruga is its own unit and it has its own common identity. Yes.
So Shmuel is saying, in effect, you have to take there's a mitzvah pay on each separate harvest.
On each separate harvest, and that can even be each separate stalk, which is a shocking thing. Right?
Yeah. What's not explained here is what constitutes a harvest. Is it
one stalk?
No. But
like we learned at the beginning of the Sefer.
You're harvesting day one. And then you stop day two, but you continue.
Oh, yeah, that's not explained here. I don't know if it's never explained. Maybe it'll be explained later, but you're right. It's not explained here what the demarcation point of one harvest is. Yes, granted that it is not explained here. Okay. Hamachlik b'tzayim lachin l'shuk. This is, again, according to Bnei Moshe, I don't want to get it, and according to the Rashi Sirileo as well, it seems, this is actually a proof to what we were saying previously, but let's not get into that right now. I would learn it's a separate comment on our Mishnah. Hamachlik b'tzayim lachin l'shuk. You're separating. You're leaving your moist onions for the marketplace. And you are keeping your dry ones for making a silo. No, you pay independently here. Now here everybody agrees these are like two minim, and you have to give two separate types to two separate payers. The chaim bafun is saying this is true by peas. The chaim bafun keremet so hamedon so too on a grape orchard which is growing on trellises. Oh, wait a minute. No, simply that's what came by Funa. The Chain Beker. Wait, there's a punctuation here which I forgot.
Chain Bekerim,
period. Oh, Chain Bekerim, thank you. Okay, it's so too by a vineyard. That they're two separate pairs.
And Afuna,
what is Afuna? Afuna is peas. Modern Hebrew also. Afuna, yeah.
It's what?
Peas. Yeah. Like peas and carrots? That's the peas. A gezer is the carrots. Okay? So, Hamedo, right, new state statement, thank you. Hamedo, no simin amashua majashir. The Hamedo is somebody who is, he's it's not pruning. He planted his vineyard too thick, with too many trees, so now he removes trees from the vineyard. That's called medo. It's like medaldel, to make it leaner, to make it trimmer. So therefore, he's trimming his vineyard by removing trees which are excess. So nonetheless, that's not considered to be two separate harvests. Noisim and Amishua Mashashir. He gives him what he left on the entire. Oh no! It is two separate harvests, right? I made a noise in me, I'm here. Now let's say he takes out 10 grapevines and leaves 10. So he gives them the 10 he's taking out now, he has to leave from them payah. And on the 10 he left, he has to leave from them payah. So we are made when you are thinning out your grape, your vineyard, then you have to leave two payahs. One for when you thin out, and one for when you do the full harvest later on.
That's assuming that there are grapes that are ready for harvest.
Right, assuming the grapes are ready to harvest, right.
Usually you would do that. Season, I mean.
Right, so it seems here they did it even after grapes actually grew on the tree. That's correct. Okay, seems they would actually be able to use those grapes for something. Okay, v'amachlik mi'achayad. Well, if you happen to have harvested one side of your field, so you can still give minam ashrua kol. The fact that you harvested one side doesn't require you to give pay on that one side. You can give from what's left on the entire field, including that one side. Tani, we learned. Hamerig. Merig is the same thing we're talking about in our Mishnah where you separate the onions. Merig is to separate. Chayev b'tchil also. He's chayev at the beginning. And chayev b'tchil also, chayev b'sof. He's chayev to give from the stuff at the beginning. Chayev to give from the end. In other words, each...
maybe make a mistake on Merig. Just let me check.
Rita,
the more it's going to explain. Okay. Hamerik chayv tchiz chayv sov. Let's get paid at the beginning, let's get paid at the end. Ve'ei deino meruk. What is this meruk? Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, ka'adot etzinah, like we learned in our Mishnah. Hamachli b'tzolim, somebody who separates his onions la'shuk. He's setting aside some of the market now. Umekayim v'shem garden is keeping the dry ones for his barn, for the silo. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu, so in this case, he has to get pay up from both types. From the type which he's selling right now fresh, and from the type which he's keeping to dry. Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, Hodein kitzcha, very interesting thing. A kitzcha is an onion seed. I don't know what an onion seed looks like. I thought they grew in bulbs. But I guess, I don't know. But you take an onion seed, Hodein kitzcha, you take an onion seed, Kadzora, when you plant it, Ravi Batsaldakika makes a small onion. Karachosa, when you plant the bulb, which grew now, or its first seed, is then bulbs, then you plant the bulb, Ravi Batsaldakika makes a big onion. So the Chiddush is that when you plant in this two stage process, you have to give payah from each stage on its own stage. In other words, on the first onions, which are harvested as narrow, small bulbs, you have to give payah. Then when you plant them later on and get larger onions, you have to give payah again. Okay? So it says the Gemara, the low cane, manon ramidan. So, the low cane means, had we not said this, Man on Armia, what would we have said differently? In other words, what's the chiddush now? What you're saying, Rabbi Yossi, about kitzcha? Of course, the two harvests. There's one harvest of the small bulbs and the harvest of the big onions. So of course we would do this. So it says the Gemara again. The locane, would you not have told me this? Man on Armia, what would we have said otherwise? Be chachem. You're telling me a chiddush. I would have known this is obvious. So it's more, I tell you what he would have said otherwise. Would have said, Hoevulisria. Since the first small bulbs are meant for replanting, so I might say, Ye potter, mina peah. I might say, exempt from peah. Because it's made for replanting anyway. Okay. Nonetheless, you're not exempt because they are edible. Says the Gemara, V'chitin lo lizria hain. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. What's the Havamina? When you harvest wheat, even if you tend to replant the wheat which you harvest is chayv and peah, right? So here too, the first bulbs would be chayv and peah. So it's more, that's not a good answer.
Well, that's the assumption that Gochita is replanted.
Right. That's why the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, V'chitin lo lezria, Asmar, V'chitin lo lezria ain. So it's more, no! Chitin ruban la'achila. By chitin, most of them are made to eat. That's why the first harvesting is plech, chayv, and peah. Hide some, then you put back in the ground, but that's a minuscule amount. Obviously, go after the roof. Here, on the count, it's a very big chiddush, but Rabbi Yossi is saying about kitzcha, because here, of the onions, the overwhelming majority of the onions are put back in the ground. Very few of those small bulbs are first, the first small bulbs are eaten. So therefore, it's a big chiddush to say that that step is chayv and peah. Okay? Says the Gemara, I dated Rabbi Yirmiyah, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah's opinion, that a merig is a machlik b'tzolim. So yerek chayev b'peo. We see that he holds that yerek, the vegetables, are chayev and peo. Why is that? Excuse me? Right, but the thing is, even the moist ones are chayev and peo, the ones which went to the shuk. Aye, they're not dried. So the answer is obvious to what you're answering. Mino machniso l'kiyum, because some of them you put into kiyum, right? The dry ones, you can dry onions and keep them. Even the fresh onions won't keep, but since they're part of the totality of a botanical category which can be kept, can be preserved, therefore they're all chayv and peah. Okay? Ma avi le Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi say about? However, what does Rabbi Yossi say? Now, bear in mind, what's the kasha? The kasha is very based on a very interesting premise which you alluded to before, which is we go by the subjective case. It has to be that this case is susceptible to machniso l'kiyum. So says the Gemara, fine, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, both the ones that you go to the market and the ones that you keep, they can both be preserved. You dry them, preserve them. But they're asking Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, the first onions, the small bulbs, which you replant to get the big onions, they're not made l'kiyum. They are not going to be made l'kiyum. If those are not going to be nichlas l'kiyum, how can you possibly have to be chayv and pay on them? So we see clearly the Gemara is saying that we look at the individual issue, the individual case at hand, not at the sum total of onions. That's Gemara's havamina. That's Gemara's first blush of the Gemara saying. The Gemara, of course, rejects this. Says the Gemara, no. Says the Gemara, Ma'ovidle Rabbi Yossi, Gomahruvena Mechusar Eliyavi. She says, even the small bulbs, they're complete, they're fine vegetables. All they're lacking is to dry them, but you could dry them. Since it's possible to dry them, that's why they're chayv and peah. Okay, so we're not as subjective. We are at least slightly objective by saying that all the onions are chayv and peah, even though that you're going to eat immediately and not are going to store because they could have been dried and stored.
Even if they're not going to be, they could be used for something else. They could be planted and new onions could be used for that.
But if all you did was that, then they wouldn't be exempt from peah. Because it has to be eating purposes, yeah, not for planting purposes.
Now, did you get something from, that's edible from these small onions?
Yeah, sure you did. You got the big onions.
Yeah, but that's not reason for the small onions.
No, that wouldn't help. Because then we'd just be mechayev and peah the big onions. Chiddush, the small onions are somewhat edible, and therefore you're mechayev them and peah. Okay, says the Gemara. Tani, we learned leket kitzircha. Leket. Who remembers what leket is? What is the fiyah? Can you give it to me in English?
Stuff that you take off the trees. The fruit that you take off. No?
No.
The stuff that falls off the trees.
Falls off your, out of your hand. Out of your hand, right? So, leket is a stalk that falls out of your hand. Tani, we learned. Leket kitzircha. What leket do you have to leave for an ani? Leket from harvesting. Lo leket kitu, if you're just plucking stalks of grain out of the ground, then you don't have to leave any. And one of them falls out of your hand, you can pick it up. You don't have to leave it there. It's only if you're harvesting, not plucking. Okay, says the Gemara. Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Chia, both of them Yochan, Hamelakit Shibayim Las, the Soso. Even if you're plucking these grains in order to use in your dough, at least put like whole kernels of grain in the dough. If you got breadsmith bread, you'll see still see that the little kernels of grain sometimes or sunflower seeds or other stuff they put in the bread, right? The multi-grain bread. So let's say you're plucking grain in order to put it even in your dough. I feel a kosher. Now here kosher is the opposite of normal meaning of kosher. Kosher means even a small amount. It means even a large amount. Potter up pay, it's exempt from payah. Because this is not a harvest. You're plucking. If you're doing this plucking by a scythe, it's still, since it's not part of the harvest. What? So you ask why it's plucking? Because he's doing it either to use the whole kernels as either to pop them into his mouth on the spot, or he's doing it in order to put a few whole kernels in his dough. He's not doing it as a major harvest. Okay? But the Chiddush is, even though it's not Kalachiyat, even though it's a Mago, but since his purpose is not the major harvest, so therefore it's okay. So it says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yisrael, it said, Bushashir. This is only if you didn't do your whole field this way. If you did this whole field this way, obviously you're just a cheat. Right? Because you're doing it, you're doing your whole field that fashion. Right? So you're looking for a loophole. Vatani asked him, what about the fine price? You had five grapevines. You're harvesting them, but not for the purpose of a bona fide harvest, but rather for the purpose of eating individual grapes. Umachnisa so basically you're taking them into your house like individual grapes in order to eat them. Part to me not parrot. You don't have to eat parrot. The stuff you forget. I mean, or law, and it's even exempt from the 3-year period. You can eat within the 3 years. I mean, our vine's exempt from the 4th year redemption process. The chai bolos, you have to leave it on the pay on the tree. So that's a kasha, because here we see it's chai and lek. It's exempt from pep. Putter from Peret, even though you seem to be harvesting the whole thing, right? You're harvesting a full harvest. So it's more. What?
He doesn't say Arlo, he says Minapayim.
Minapayim, which makes more sense. He takes out Arlo? Because it doesn't make sense to leave Arlo, because we know Arlo is also no matter what, so pay is a very good thing. But in any event, so the cash is here he harvested his whole thing. Lock, stock, and barrel, yet he's exempt from pay or exempt from leket. Well, how could you say such a thing? So I'm right. He said, come, it depends. The wheat, which he was plucking out there, it was complete, it was fully ripe. And therefore, in order to be exempt from payah, you can't pluck the whole thing. You can't make it look like a loophole. Kam shen gros by the grapes, so they weren't completely ripe. Since they weren't completely ripe, even if you pluck out all of them for eating on an ad hoc basis, if it's not a bona fide harvest, you're exempt from leket and so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael said a few times, come to Gemuras. You say both the prices are talking about where the fruit is already complete. Or come sharing words, or even both can be talking about where it's incomplete. In other words, they're not fully ripe. That's not the factor which causes the distinction here. Rather, it depends. If you wanted to eat them as grapes, then you're exempt from leket shichah and peah, as long as you're collecting on a kituf basis. Hacha, where you chayv, even if it's a kituf basis, kshabikesh lasos yayin. When you want to make wine, which is a dover amiskaye, there you have to give peah. Says the Gemara, or land leket, etc. What? I know the difference here is not kium. I shouldn't have. I probably was led you astray. What I meant was the difference is whether it's a bona fide harvest or not. Bona fide harvest being defined as for wine. This case, our case of the grain, learns from the case of wine. If I have another case of wine, learns from our case. Our case learns in this case, so we can also draw the economy. Even when you harvest your whole field as kituf, but you don't do it in order to make bread. You do it in order to lecho lasos melilos, to make pop grains. To put in your mouth, then you're exempt from leket. Just like over there. And from there, we learned, from there, That's even if he didn't leave anything over. And that gets in from our case. That if you, even if you want to make a wine, which is a real harvest, as long as you left something over in your field, so it's okay. Again, the two elements which exempt you from leket shichan peah are if A, you did the whole thing, but you did it on an ad hoc basis for popping grapes or for popping grain, or B, you did it as a bona fide harvest, but you didn't do your whole field. And that means it's not a real harvest, it's just like a quick way of getting food. And they have an achav leket shichan peah.
Scenario A, that's taking a big chance. I mean, that's opening up.
All these are Pandora boxes, that's right. That's right. Okay. Hamed of a chule. Somebody who thins out his vineyard, it's chayv in two pairs. Tanar Abiyuda is a med of armory. And when is that true? Pemed of a shuk by professional thinning. Because now that you're thinning in order to send a whole bunch of grapes or wine to the marketplace. Intentionally. So therefore it's two stages, which are commercially viable. I've made a advice, but if you're doing the first made just for your own purposes at home, it's a homegrown type of thinning, it's not going to be a separate, formal, separate stage, and you can give whatever you have at the end on the whole thing. Rabbi Zira said, this is also only true when originally you grew a thicket in your vineyard. You grew it very thick in order to have this two-stage harvest, the thinning harvest and then the ultimate harvest. But he didn't have this mind to begin with. Not if he's doing it for his own house. Even if he's doing it for market, he can give from that which is left over and everything, because it wasn't a formal staggered harvest. It was one harvest, which happened to have required thinning ahead of time. Okay, I believe this is something one of you asked before. Not sure which one of you. But you see here clearly that there is a time frame over which a staggered harvest can be considered to be one harvest. Here it's critical that he had the intent to dafka do it as two separate stages. Only then is he chayv in two payas. Okay? Says more, chaymo shabitzolim. Now these are mother onions. Mother onions are these huge mama onions, we would say. Yeah, the mother of all onions. So that they're big and they produce a lot of onion seed. Now, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe it's not onion seed, maybe I misunderstood the name Moshe. Maybe each shoot which comes out of an onion can grow a whole onion plant. So these produce many onion shoots. You know, you ever leave an onion around and it gets green shoots, right? So maybe each shoot can produce, if you replanted an onion plant. What do I know? But in any event, emotional psalm, these are thick mother onions which are meant to reproduce many, many bulbs. Chayav is a pair, the chayav pair. Because you eat them, Rabbi Yossi Poteri exempts them from pair. We'll see why anymore. Malbenus Absolish Ben Yerek. If you have patches of onion between your vegetables, Rabbi Yisrael pay mikolachas. Rabbi Yisrael says you can pay from each one. The Chacham Armi beyachar call from one patch on all the rest of the patches. On a Rav Amar purgada, a mother onion is called a purgada, which means one which can be reused over and over. It has both mishnayos together in that one. So you go back, get to Gemara, and go back again. Okay. So again. You found it? Rav Amar Purgato and Shmuel Amar Tumachta. The reason Rabbi Yossi exempted these mother onions from pay is because they're hefker. People don't care to assert ownership on them. Okay? So says the Gemara, No. Rabbi Abun Barchia Boikum Rabbi Mona. Right, boom, barachiyah. Ask Rabbi Mona, if that's the case, what's Rabbanon's logic? The hefker chayev peah. Rabbanon who say that the imos are chayev, they hold that hefker is chayev and peah cannot be. Amarlei, so he said bezocha mehen achas achas. Maybe it's the case according to Rabbanon where he acquired them. He acquired the mother one. He's there if he's chayev and peah. Says Gemara, no, that's not the pshat. I bring you a proof from a brisa. For a time we learn a brisa, Chachamim responded in this brisa to to Rabbi Yossi by saying, even though he doesn't care to keep them when he has plenty of onions, what he cares to keep them when he has very few onions. Miskaimos, he cares to keep them. What parameter does that evoke? The parameter of what?
Preservation.
So we see that they were saying Rabbi Yossi must have said, you don't preserve him, leave him out in the field. They're not things that you bring into your house in order to store. So Rabban responded to him and said, no, sometimes you do. If you have a lot of onions, you're right, you just leave the mother onions out of the field. But a few onions, you bring them in and you preserve them to use as food as well. So it's heavy lace, timer. It must be that there's no other reason except the low mishum, heavy lace, time is low. There's no other reason to exempt them or to be mechayv them from payas case, maybe except for mishum machnisu l'kiyum. No, it's machlokas rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi is not whether they're hefker or not, but whether it's machnisu l'kiyum. And it says you never take the mother onions in and store the mother onions in and destroy them. Rabbi Yossi says you do. Okay, now remember, in Jewish law, states are considered to be units. So, achim shechoku, brothers who divide up their deceased father's estate. Nostim shnei peos, they give two peos, because now they're separate. Chazon ishtat, what happens if they change their mind and decide to put the estate back together again? Even after they divvied it up, they put it back together again. Nostim peachas, are considered to be one peos. Shnaim shlochu seilon. It's true, by the way, of any payoff, any partners. I shouldn't say it's just true about brothers.
Even though the field is the same field, no, and it's not separated, but if they split it up.
Right. Depends what they did. Says Marshnaim Shlokhu Seilon, two people took a tree, even one tree. Nostim Peah Achas. Then they if they took it as partners, they give one payah. However, Zetzvon of Zedromo, if this guy bought the north side of the tree and the other guy bought the south side of the tree, then I say Peahatsu Senos Peah, it'll pay out to each one of skip payah from his side of the tree. Okay, now comes an interesting case. They harvested half the field together as partners. Then they split. From the second half of the part, they harvested as antagonists, right? They split up their relationship. In that case, Eino Marfish Mitu Mishalo V'lo B'tchila V'lo B'sof. You're not allowed to set payah up from your field on his, not even on what on the tchila, on that which you were partners, which we saw earlier in the Masechta. Even though on the first half you were still partners, and on that you should be able to give a common pay, you're not allowed to because it's a gzera. Because at the end you're no longer partners. You have to give separate pay on the second half of the field. So therefore, even on the first half of the field, we make you give separate pay. Okay? Says.
So how many portions are there?
How many what? Oh, each one gives their own, so that's two altogether. Just two. Okay. You know, the other one would be three. No, you don't have to give three. You just give two. Okay. Says the Gemara, Chozav Nishtatfu, the Kotsru. What happens if then they became partners again? And then they harvested. Marfish Mishalosh Basov Shabakhabirosh Basov. So they, on that which they, all, even though all's well that ends well, it doesn't work retroactively. On the part which they were partners, the last part, they can give one Pagame Peah. But on the part which they were not partners, on that they cannot give a common pay. It doesn't work retroactively. Okay? In that case, it's four. Maybe didn't interrupt. Yeah, so it's three, right? Two and then one. Yeah, okay. Says Amrei B'Yochareel said, now a very interesting case. And the rest of the cases of the evening are similar. I need a piece of paper. That's your piece of paper? Okay, this is the case. Oh. Here's a field. Can you see, Dr. Smell? You have a field over here. Okay, they were originally partners on the whole field. Okay, they decided to split. They're originally partners on half a field. They're partners on this. They harvested half of this half. They harvested this half over here. The harvest. Then they bought this half of the field. And then they became partners subsequently on this part of the field. Now at the beginning, this is first they were partners on this half, then they harvested this half, then they bought this half, now they harvested this. And then they harvested. Step number four is that they harvested this. This section. Now, says the Gemara, we'll see it inside a minute, but you can take Peah from this part, on this part, and on this part. Because they were partners in they were partners in this when they were partners here. And they're partners on this when they're partners here, right? You can take payer from this on this, and they pay from that on that. But you cannot take payer from this on that. Because they were never partners in this part, in the, let's call it the east, the west, way, the west half, when they're partners in the east half. Okay? Right. So let me just say that for the microphone to make it clear. You can take, they're partners in the eastern half. In the eastern half, and then they split up. They harvested half of the eastern half. Only then they become partners on the western half. Then they harvested the western half and the middle part. They had this where the western part of the eastern half. So then they can take payah from the middle, meaning the western part of the eastern half, on the western half and on the eastern half. They can take payah from the eastern part of the eastern half on the western part of the eastern half, and from the western half on the western part of the eastern half, but they cannot take payah from either of the sides on each other, from the west side on the eastern part of the eastern half, or from the eastern half of the eastern half on the west side. Okay?
I can't wait for
this to
happen.
It's partners, yes. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kitzer Chatzit Sadeh. You harvested. Now here, the first word Kitzer means they're partners. They're partners in harvesting half a field. The Chatzit Chatzit Chetzu, and they harvested half of that half. Lois Bilitzer Shai. They didn't harvest the second half. Ad Shekutzer Kul until they became partners in the whole thing and the rest of it. And Marfish Minarishim, so Rosh, it should be Minar Roshi. You can be Marfish from the two heads, in other words, from the two sides, and Tzayim on the middle. Umina, I'm saying from the middle, Allah Roshim on the two sides. Aval Eno Marfish Minar Roshim, Allah Roshim, but you can't take from one side on the other side. Amrei Bishuv and Levi, Bishuv and Levi said a similar idea with a different case. Haitzel Sata Achas, you're one guy, you have one field. But it's growing, it's maturing at different rates. Chatzia evia shlish, so the eastern half grew a third, which is the sheared has to grow in order to be suitable to harvest. The chatzia lo evia shlish, but the western half had not yet gone to a third of its growth. So you harvested half of the part which became mature, left half, and before you got around to harvesting the second half, the other side of the field became mature as well. Okay? Again, you weren't able to harvest the other half of the first half until the rest of it grew into the third as well. So you have to the same halacha. Matfish mina roshim time you can take from the, since the middle part of the field was extant at the time that both of the sides, each one of the sides, got to a third. So therefore, marvish mina roshim emtsayim, he marvish from the either side on the middle, mina emtsayim ala roshim, and from the middle on either side, veino marvish mina roshim can't be marvish from one side, one extreme, on the other extreme, We'll stop here for this evening.
What was this last minute that we were saying?
Same case as the partners. Same set of partners we're talking about, whether it's mature. Same idea. This got mature first, this half. And then you harvest it. Right. Okay? Wednesday and Thursday. Going to learn tonight, tomorrow night, next Monday, and then after Shavuos, regular schedule.
Are we on schedule?
If we're behind, we're a block behind. We're not far.